it in your will, Lord. God, if you would just relieve her pain right now, Lord. God, give her a good evening, good time tonight. Give her a pain-free evening. Oh, God. Precious Lord, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Lamb of God, Lamb of God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Blessed Lord, blessed Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Precious Lord, oh God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, oh God. Blessed be the Lord, blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you.
keep me under the shadow of your wings, dear Lord. Let the glory of all heaven through me reign. Oh, let temptation lure me never, and I'll praise your name forever. Keep me under the shadow of your wings. Yes, keep me under the shadow of your wings, dear Lord. Let the glory from all heaven through me reign. Oh, let temptation lure me never, and I'll praise your name forever. Keep me under the shadow of your wings.
She walks without crutches. She walks wherever she wants to go now. And she was so touchy that we wouldn't go over there because she was that fragile. But finally, Destra and I decided one day we would go. And we get to the hospital, and they said she went home this morning. And we couldn't have had better news than Georgia. Her name is Georgia Bone, and she's at home, and she's doing fine. And God is so good. And God can heal. He can. When I got up there, I didn't have cancer in my face. God has been real good. And Destra said to tell everybody hello. And so keep on praying for us because I don't have a church up there. I haven't. I find the tapes from the Little Rock Church and I listen to them. But God is very good.
Praise God. I'm happy to be here tonight. I like Wednesday night church. I like having an uplift. I like the songs, the music. I like the testimonies, the preaching. I like having an interruption in my busy schedule, my good hard day. You know, it's easy to get distracted and get centered on the things that, you know, are carnal. Taking care of, you know, the natural things, I should say. And I was on my way home tonight. I was listening to the Bible and I was going through the book of 1 Kings, and I thought I might read a little bit here. In 1 Kings 19, that Jezebel, she was after Elijah. And he got his head hung low because he was going to kill her. She was going to kill him, I mean. And in 1 Kings 19:4 it said, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and he sat down under a juniper tree. I've got wrote in here all Brother Langer taught us about that. And he requested for himself that he might die. You ever feel that way? You ever feel like that you're just come to the end of your road, that you can't go no further, and You're just ready for change, ready for something to happen. And he said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, and there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and he laid him down again. So he got a little bit, but he didn't get enough. He didn't get the message. He didn't understand the severity of the situation. And let's see. And the angel of the Lord, in the seventh verse, came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." Ah, Lord. Jesus said that they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. You know, this isn't something that we can accomplish on our own. We can't achieve this under our own strength. It's not by might, and it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And the angel told him, told Elijah, he said, "The journey is too great for thee." Woo! And he arose, and he did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto the mount, unto Horeb, the mount of God. I thought about that today. I thought, you know, we're struggling. I mean, we recognize that we're grieving for Sister Watson and her circumstance. We grieve for Brother and Sister Crow and their circumstance. And there's others that are sick and afflicted. There's others that are struggling, you know, spiritually or financially or family troubles. And it we feel that. We feel that weight upon us. And it's easy for us to look around and feel like that, you know, when so-and-so is missing, we recognize, we see when different ones are missing. We're missing a few tonight. Some are out of town, I think, and some, maybe an ox in the ditch. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves centered on what's missing. And that's okay. It's okay for us to be sensitive to that, Brother Daniels. We should be sensitive to the ones that aren't here, the ones that are missing. But don't you know that when we come in this service here tonight and feel the Spirit of God start moving in these songs, don't you know that the angel of the Lord's trying to tell us, hey, wake up. Wake up. This journey's too great for thee. Arise and eat, my Lord. Arise and eat. Take the Word of God. Take the Spirit of God. Take these songs of encouragement. Be sheltered under the arms of the Lord, under His wings, my Lord. Praise God. Feel yourself resting in the hands of the Lord. Feel yourself strengthened by the Word of God, nourished and refreshed by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Jesus, He said that this is a house of prayer for all people. Praise God. Not just for the saints, not just for the whole, for all people. For those of you that are sitting here tonight, maybe you're hurting. Maybe you're not feeling good. Maybe you're a little disappointed. Maybe you're a lot disappointed. Maybe you're even in a state of depression. Maybe you don't feel like traveling on. You know, I think about that. The Bible says that David, he rose up and encouraged himself. He had a foundation. He knew that there were certain things in his life, certain responsibilities that he had to take care of. You know, if you look back on that passage when David did rise up and encourage himself, thank God he did. Because he did that. Because David rose up and encouraged himself, he was able to save the lives of all those women and children. It was David that led the way, and the men followed him, and they went and recovered all their families that had been captured. People are counting on you and me. People are counting on us. They're counting on this church. Right here, 8101 Colonel Glenn Road, Little Rock, Arkansas. I'm not just talking about people within the Little Rock Metro. I'm talking about people within the state of Arkansas. People within the body of Christ are counting on us to rise up, thank God, even in the midst of turmoil, even in the midst of frustration or disappointment. They're counting on us to let the light shine, thank God, to hold this banner of love high, to make room, thank God, for the Lord in our lives. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know what? We were counting on people too. Think about it. There was a time in your life, there was a time in my life when I was coming this way, when I was looking this way, when I was counting on somebody to show up for church on Wednesday night, praise God, and get excited about the Word of God. I was counting on somebody to clap their hands, to sing an old-fashioned gospel song, hallelujah, about salvation. Woo! I was in need, and I was counting on finding myself resting here and an angel of the Lord touching me and saying, wake up, eat, and drink, for the journey is too great for you. Praise God. We've been privileged. There's been many men of God that have gone before us here, preached over this pulpit. Wonderful saints of God and sung and testified, preached to us. And there'll be many more. See, the thing about it is God's work, you know, we know His workmen pass, but His work goes on. I reflect back on men and women in my life that have been a great influence upon me. Some are still living, some aren't. But I'm going to tell you, it thrills my heart. I think about the investment that they made in my life. I honor them. I do. I can tell you the names of the men that taught me in Sunday school class when I was just a little bitty kid. Because they put something in my life. They helped establish a faith in my life that I knew that God was real and there was no doubt about it. Praise God. We're in a good place. We've been called. We've been given promises. I was reading here recently, rereading 2 Peter, the first chapter. And I was thinking about Brother Smith's message about the restoration of the tabernacle and how that we're supposed to build a wall. When they went out to build the wall, they had a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. They were working. They were ready to defend, but they are ready to work. And the Bible says that a man, I've quoted this scripture many times, but a man that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city without walls. That just means evil could penetrate from any side, come in from any angle. But did you know there's another scripture that says, he that hath rule over his spirit is greater than he that can take a city. Do you know if you have your spirit under control, if you've got your body in subjection, you're powerful. You've got a lot of power. You've got a lot of power. The disciples, the apostles, when they were going about healing and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, they had been through something. They had laid a foundation in their life. Jesus had established certain elements in their life. Thank God that when they had power, when they spoke, there was power behind their name, their words. Hallelujah. When I think about, the distinction for us and being in Babylon or being in false religion and being in Jesus or being in His church is the fact that we're in His name. We're not here tonight in any other name. We're not in the name of the Baptist organization. We're not in the name of the Catholic organization. We're not in the name of the Methodist organization. We're not in the name of the UPC organization. We're here tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. And it's by His name is where the power comes from. Hallelujah. And that's what separates us. You say whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. If you're not in the name of Jesus Christ, you're not in His body. You can't be in His body unless you're in His name. He's not your head. Something else is. Whether it's false religion or whatever. And so we know that the power that we're looking for tonight doesn't come by us. Just like Elijah here, he needed power, and it didn't come by his prophesying. The power that he needed came from God of heaven. The power that we need tonight comes from the Lord above too. And so the disciples, I was reading here in 2 Peter in the first chapter, and he's admonishing them. I want to go to the third verse. He said, according as his divine power. Well, let's go to the second verse. He said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According to his divine power hath he given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. That's your calling. That's your calling. That's your calling. You've been called tonight to glory and virtue, divine power. You've been called tonight. You've been called tonight. And so that he starts, in my mind, Peter starts that as a foundation. He said, we've been called to glory and virtue. He said, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Now you've been called and you've been given promises. Great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, that divine nature is your tabernacle. And Peter, he explains that in a minute. Your tabernacle. He that hath rule over his spirit, his own spirit. If you bring your spirit under subjection and you let the Spirit of God, Brother Merle used to tell us, and I know it doesn't mean so much to some of y'all, but it means a lot to me. He used to say, it remains to be seen what God would do for a man who yields 100% to the Holy Ghost. Just yields to the Holy Ghost. Just totally led by the Lord. And so here he says, a man that hath rule over his spirit is greater than he that takes a city. If you've got rule, if you've got your nature under subjection and the Spirit of God is ruling your life, you've got power. You've got divine power. You've been called to virtue and glory. So then he said, and beside this, so he said, he gave us a calling, and he gave us precious and great promises. So he said, and beside this calling, add to your faith. Now, tonight, you have to believe. You have to believe that you've been called. You have to believe that. Just like whenever I was an 8 or 9 year old boy and John Brown University students came to the swimming pool there in Bentonville and they were looking for souls to save, they asked me if I wanted to accept Jesus as my personal Savior, and I sure did. I got right up out of that pool and I went with them. We had a little prayer. I believed in that calling. I believed, standing right there dripping wet. I believed in that calling. I had faith. I had faith. I had faith. And he said, add to your faith. Do you want to build your tabernacle today? The Bible says in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, it said that charity is the bond of perfectness. Now, I know that we've used this second chapter, or this first chapter of 2 Peter as a stepping, like a ladder. I know how Brother Linger taught that, and I'm not trying to take away from that. But I do want to say that I'm convinced, if you allow me to put it that way, that I can have some of these elements today. I want to illustrate that. He said, add to your faith. Add to your faith. He said, but besides that, after your calling, faith, you got to believe. You got to believe in your calling. He said, add to your faith, virtue. Now, okay, so now you've got to make your faith strong. You've got to. So here's, say I'm a bodybuilder, which I'm not. But let's just say I was. I could sit on a couch all day long and say, well, I'm a bodybuilder. Right? I'm gonna lift weights and get ripped, as they say. I'm a exercise. Well, I could sit there all day long, but until I add some faith to it, I mean some virtue to it, until I put some strength behind what I believe, until I actually make some effort and exercise some energy, my faith's in vain. My words are in vain. Now he said, add to your faith virtue. He said, and then to virtue, knowledge. See, isn't that just like a Christian? Isn't that just like a Christian? You say, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I accept Jesus as my personal Savior. What's the next thing you do? You open the Bible. You start reading. You start getting informed. Well, who is this Jesus that you're talking about? And why does he want me saved? What's the, you know, the first thing everybody does is they want to go to the New Testament and start reading the red letter words. And that's all right. They're adding to their faith. Virtue, they're exercising their faith. They're adding strength to it. They're putting some effort behind it. Then they're adding knowledge. They're getting acquainted. When Jesus said, except a man love, except a man be willing to forsake all and follow me. Except a man be willing to take up his cross. That's knowledge. Okay, well, Brother Talley, I can't do that overnight. Even if I have all the faith on the planet, I still got to get strong. I may have this knowledge, but if I don't, I've still got more to do. Now, he said, add to your knowledge temperance. Now, what's the one thing everybody says about knowledge? Knowledge is power. That's what everybody says. And everybody, how many times have you had the Bible used against you this week? People do it all the time. I had somebody use the Bible against me. Well, you're not supposed to judge. They quoted that over in Matthew 7. Well, you're not supposed to judge. Well, they don't quote that right. You are supposed to judge. And if you'll read Matthew 7, you'll find out that you're not just supposed to judge. He said, judge not lest ye be judged. And then he went on to say that you shall know them by the fruits they bear. So you're a fruit inspector. You're to judge things and to find out whether it's worthy or not. You're not going to pick up a rotten orange and eat it. You're not going to pick up an apple that's loaded with worms and start chowing down. You're going to judge whether that fruit is worthy or not. You're not going to, you know, who was that? Sister Hannah's mother, I think, posted a bowl of blackberries. Was that your mama? You're not going to just run out to a blackberry bush. You know, I know this because we got them all over our place. Now, don't nobody get no ideas because we got dibs on them. But you're not going to just run out and stick your hand in the middle of a blackberry bush and start picking off blackberries. Number one, you want to make sure that you're covered for ticks. Number two, you don't want to get them thorns all in your hands or snakes. You know, there's snakes in blackberry bushes, y'all. There's things that you're going to judge that situation. So anyway, people use the Bible against you all the time because they have knowledge, but they don't know what it means necessarily. But that doesn't make them Let me hold that thought. He said, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance. You've got to take your knowledge and you've got to temper it. You've got to see it in action. Have you ever had a miracle in your life? Have you ever had a miracle in your life? I have. I'm going to tell you something. A dream, a miracle, a prayer answered, a healing, the the guilt lift of sin, a wonderful blessing, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, those experiences will temper you. They'll make you know beyond a shadow of doubt that you know what you know is right. I'm going to tell you, you take a master carpenter, or Brother Joe's a good mechanic, or a musician, when you take them and you could tell them all day, well, you know, you tell Brother Joe all day long, well, the gasoline goes in the radiator and the antifreeze goes in the fuel tank. Well, he would look at you and say, no, you don't know what you're talking about. Because he knows. But he didn't always know that. Did you, Brother Joe? You had to gain that knowledge. Then he had to put that knowledge into practice. It had to become working knowledge. That's the way we are on our job. I don't care whatever you're trying to become in life, you're going to go through these steps. Whatever you're trying to become in life, whether you're trying to become an accountant or a lawyer or a master machinist or a good cook, you know, a chef or whatever, you're going to go through the steps. You're going to accept your calling. You're going to say, you know what? I can be a veterinarian. And then you're going to put some exercise. You're going to accept it, and you're going to believe it, and then you're going to put strength behind it. You say, I can become a doctor. You're going to accept that calling on your life, and you're going to believe it, and then you're going to start exercising towards that, and then you're going to add knowledge to it. And then you're going to, after you go through school, you have to go through your apprenticeship, but it's called something else in the medical field. Intern, yes. You become an intern. That's when you start tempering your knowledge, when you're an intern. Well, I'm going to tell you something, Brother Daniels. There's times in my life I'm an intern Christian. There's times in my life that I'm not at the pinnacle of charity, but I'm not way down here at the bottom or at the beginning, let me put it that way. I'm not down here at the beginning where I just found out I got a calling. There's times in my life where I'm right here at the internship. I'm right here getting my knowledge tempered. And then he said, add to your temperance patience. You know, and that's true, especially for, somebody like a veterinarian. Oftentimes, one of the most expensive things that they have to do is set up their own shop. It's incredibly expensive for them to set up their own facility, so they have to work for somebody. They have to serve someone else until they get enough, and they have to be patient for that. Well, I'm just as good a veterinarian as this guy is, but you got to be patient. You got to grow your reputation. You got to grow your experiences. Have to grow. You have to learn. Whether if you're a doctor, you got to learn your bedside manner. You got to learn how to deal with certain circumstances. You have to learn patience. You know, we got to learn patience as a Christian. Now, I'm not naive to believe that, let's just say, for example, I'm still learning to temper my knowledge. Don't think for a minute that I'm not also learning patience. I'm trying to build my tabernacle. See, I'm viewing all of these things, this faith, this virtue, this knowledge, this temperance, this brotherly kind, I'm viewing all these things as building blocks in my life. And you know what's holding them all together? Charity. All of this that I'm learning, all of this that I'm going through, is holding it all together. It's helping me function as a Christian. He said, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience. And then he said, patience, godliness. When you learn to turn the other cheek, when you learn to not be an offender for a word, when you learn to suffer willingly, when you, what does the Bible say it's a privilege of a man to conceal a sin. When you learn how to cover, when you learn how to love in spite of the circumstance, when you learn that godliness, that God-likeness, that element of God that absolutely loves humanity in spite of their wicked heart. I've witnessed this on my job, the men I work for and women I've worked for, when they learn how to love their co-workers or their underlings, if you will, even when they mess up, boy, they get a lot more done. They're a lot more successful. I was telling my kids this recently, and this may make some of y'all nervous. You may not want to work with me. I'm just telling you right now. I was 14 years old, and I was working with this man, and we were high. He had a house out on a lake out in Bella Vista, and we were putting new railing up on his deck, and this was before the, you know, screw guns and cordless drills and all that, and he kind of prided himself. He said the Chinese, and I've repeated this many times, the Chinese never throw away a nail. He said they always straighten them out and reuse them. Whether it's true or not, it's, you know, it's good. I'm careful. I don't throw stuff like that away, especially out in the yard. But anyway, he laid this board out, and he said, "Now you hold this board." He's getting ready to nail it down. He said, "And whatever you do, don't turn loose." Well, he set that nail, and he went reared back with his hammer, and that hammer was coming right by my face. And when it did, I turned loose, and my hands went wild, and I slapped him right across the face. Oh, he got red. He got so red-faced, but you know, he didn't get mad at me. He didn't cuss me out or anything like that. He had temperance. He had patience. He had enough love in his heart that he didn't retaliate. He just covered it. He said, "Then add brotherly kindness. Let it work." You know, it takes a lot. It takes a lot for you to put yourself aside, to put your hopes, dreams, and everything else aside for the good of your brother, to show kindness. I think about that scripture a lot. When it's within thy power to do good, withhold it not. You've got power. Do you realize that? You've got power to do good. Don't withhold it. Don't hold back. Give it. If it's within thy power to do good, withhold it not. He said, then add to brotherly kindness charity. Now notice this next verse. He said, for if these things be in you and abound. Now I get that. I recognize that they have to abound. But he said, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. What does he do? He goes all the way back to knowledge. He said, they shall make that you're neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not there, Brother Wallace. I know that. But there's been times in my life where I've exercised brotherly kindness. There's been times in my life where I've exercised godliness. There's been times in my life where I've exercised temperance and patience and faith and virtue. There's been times where I've had knowledge. And you know what? As a Christian, as a growing Christian, as my temple, as the temple of the Lord, as Paul said, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Lord? As this person, this being, becomes less like Adam and more like Christ, thank God, I'm not having to start over every single time. I'm adding a block. I'm adding a block, and I'm bonding that with the love of God. I'm adding a block of patience. All this is all these experiences, all this knowledge, all this worship and praise and years of service, all these things that I'm doing is helping me become a temple of the Lord. And so Peter, he said, if you do these things, ye shall never fail. He said, you'll never be barren or unfruitful, but he that lacketh these things is blind. Now that's a key right there. You know how you become blind? You got to become blind. You got to go all the way back to the beginning and forsake your calling. That's how you become blind. And that's what we've seen. We've seen people do that, and it hurts us. And we scratch our head. We do not understand. Brother Daniels, I don't understand how people can forsake their calling to the body of Christ. Brother Weiniger, I've learned, it's like Brother Brett's song, I know too much. There's too many things about Babylon I know. I can't go back there. I've been called to the greatest thing that God ever established in the earth. And he's given me truths that I can't deny. But I'm going to tell you something. There's people that have given in to the lust of their flesh so great that they've absolutely forsaken their calling and they're blind. And it doesn't matter. You could talk to them about the knowledge of Christ. You could talk to them about faith. You could talk to them about patience and godliness and charity. But I'm going to tell you what. They can't put two and two together because there's nothing holding them. They forsook their calling. He said, they that lacketh these things is blind and hath forgotten that they were once purged from their old sins. He said, but rather, brethren, see, this is it again. Give diligence. He said, give diligence to make your calling and your election, these precious and great promises, make them sure. Make that knowledge that you have sure. How many is in the Godhead? You know, is it one, two, or three, or four, or five, or six? Do you know? How many, who is the devil and where the devil is he? Somebody said. Do you have to speak in tongues as evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Can you be in Christ and be in religion? Make your calling and election sure. Is it required of you to live a holy life, or can you just live any old way? He said, give diligence to make your faith, your virtue, your knowledge, your godliness, your temperance, your patience, your godliness, your brotherly kindness, your charity. He said, give diligence to make them sure. Don't just set on it. Don't just set on the Word of God and learn it and think you can just have it today and you've got it for the rest of your life. Make your knowledge sure. Read the Word of God. Establish it in your heart. Let it become a part of you. Build those building blocks to where you're a holy temple. Paul said, a vessel of honor in the house of the Lord. He said, except the Lord build a house. If God's not building your house, then you're laboring in vain. If God isn't building you, if God's not in your calling and the promises that you're holding on to and believing in, then your labor's in vain. He said, if the Lord build a house, the watchman waketh not in vain. He said, but if the Lord don't build a house, then it's in vain. He said, make your calling. He said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. What does the Bible say? That a just man, though he fall seven times, yet will the Lord lift him up again. Why? Because there's a foundation under him. It's the Word of God. It's his faith. It's the strength that he's got from it. It's experiences. It's the temperance. It's the patience that he's learned. It's the brotherly kindness, thank God. It's the things that he's been through, hallelujah. Woo! You'll know that you can't fall, hallelujah. You may fall, but you'll get back up again. My God, this church is wonderful. What we've been given is wonderful, hallelujah. These things, these precious truths are wonderful. It may seem like we fall sometimes, but I'm going to tell you something. If God's in it, you'll get back up again. Make your calling sure. Establish in your heart this election that God has called you to. He said, if you do these things, he said, you shall never fall. He said, and for so. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for a little power, a little assistance? I read to you about Elijah. The angel came. The angel came and gave him a cruse of water and a cake of bread to eat. Brother Daniels, the angels came and said, wake up, because the journey is too great for thee. Eat. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for an entrance? Peter said, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. Abundantly. Ministered unto you. I didn't say minister to yourself, Brother Caleb. That's you ministering to me. That's Brother Smith ministering to us. That's these song leaders ministering to us. That's these testifiers and preachers and worshipers and dancers and singers ministering to us. He said, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. This is a day by day, a little by little, a line upon line, a here a little, a there a little process. This is a Wednesday night service. This is a Sunday morning Bible study. This is a work day. This is a dinner day. This is all those things going together. It's all of it. It's all of it working together. It's all ministering an entrance, an abundant minister of entrance, an entrance to us. He said, I butchered that, didn't I? An abundance of people ministering to us so that there's an entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Think about that. Think about that. The brother and sister Crow, they've had an abundance of people ministering to them in their lives. I'm not going to go out and say where they'll, you know, it's not my, you know, Paul said, how shall I judge another man's servant? I'm not trying to do that. But I'm going to tell you, I'm a witness. I'm a witness to know that God sees their life and has granted them an incredible amount of grace. Praise God. What a wonderful way. What a wonderful life they've been able to live, serving and working among God's people. An abundant entrance has been made for them every day, whether you die young or whether you die old. I'm going to tell you something. These building blocks that Peter's talking about will help you have a tabernacle that is worthy, thank God, to house the Spirit of God here on this earth. What he's talking about will help you have a life, a lifestyle, a life, a person, an entity. You can become a righteous individual, thank God, where the Spirit of God can be alive in your life, so that if somebody's got a need, just like when the apostles were walking down the road and there was a man lame, and Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but I've got faith, I've got knowledge, I've got virtue, I've got temperance, I've got patience, I've got godliness, I've got brotherly kindness, and I've got charity. I've got the Spirit of God working in my life, such as I have. Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. He ministered right there to that man an entrance into the kingdom of God. Whew. My God. I don't know if he was perfect at that moment or not, but he was certainly a vessel that God could use. Praise God. He said, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, then he went on to say, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, that ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle. See why I use it like that? He said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Praise God. I hope I didn't cause any confusion. and showing how that scriptures, those scriptures, Brother Smith, it just became evident to me that they're building blocks in my life. Temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. I'm not going to get it all in one day. God's not going to just give me, oh, Brother Painter, here's godliness, you know, and now I've got it. I get it a little bit at a time. I get a little bit of patience at a time. I take that knowledge that I have, guess what I do? I add to it. You know, just take a doctor, for example. Even a doctor that's, you know, aced his test through med school and had a fantastic internship, he's still got something to learn. He's still got knowledge to glean. He may have, the certificate hanging on the wall, but they still got something to learn. We do too, saints of God. Just because we've been on this journey a while doesn't mean that there's not still more for us to learn. Doesn't mean that there's not still more experiences for us to have. It doesn't mean that there's not more glory, as he said. That, how did he say that in 1 Peter, 2 Peter 1 and 3? Let's see. He said that through knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now, think about this, y'all. If you got mechanic and work needs done, you want somebody who sees it, right? If you got work that needs to be done on your house, you want to find somebody who knows, who's been through it, right? Or you want to find somebody who's been through it and is helping somebody else get through it. You want a baseline of knowledge. You want experiences. That's what people, when people come to this church, and it's a little bit unfair, I know, because we're coming to this church also to get to receive, to be blessed and be encouraged. But when people walk through these doors, they're expecting us to have it. They're expecting us to have this calling, this election. They're expecting us to be on our game. They're looking for something from us. Now, granted, they're looking for it from the Lord, but they're watching us just like we're watching each other. And it's okay, because some days we'll have it and some days we won't. But just like anything else, it's a little bit at a time. Praise God. Make your calling and election sure. Put on this tabernacle of the Lord. Put on these things. Don't make charity. I mean, it is the grand. It is the finality. It is the epitome of what we're trying to accomplish. You know, I know that. I read those scriptures, and I am convinced 100% in 1 Corinthians 13. He said, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I have all knowledge, he said, if I have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. I get that. I recognize that, and I accept it, and I believe it. What I'm saying is don't wait until you get this great, big, you know, wonderful, you know, 9,000-pound bag of charity that you're just carrying around like Santa Claus to dispense to everybody. Take the little bit. If all you got's a pocket full of charity, thank God, use it. If all you got's a pocket full of knowledge, use it. If you just got a little bit of virtue, use it. If you got a little bit of patience, put it into practice. If you got a little bit of temperance, use it. Thank God, if you'll do these things. He said, if you will do these things, you won't fall. You'll just keep getting up again. You'll just keep learning. You'll keep growing. You'll keep developing. And then an entrance will be ministered unto you abundantly. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
God is building a house. God is building a house. God is building a house that will stand. It is being put together by the lively stones together. God is
Nathan, I'll say Brother Nathan, talking about when he got that blessing from those men. I babysat at that time. And sometimes I would have lots of kids there at the house, plus our children. So the swimming pool was 3 or 4 blocks from the house. And I would take the kids and go down there. I had permission from the parents and all that kind of stuff. And you never really know. I was sitting here thinking, can I remember him coming home? I can't remember when Nathan came home saying that that had happened to him. But I can remember when Nathan came home saying, Mom, when I grow up, I want to be a preacher. And I knew then that there were changes made, because my belief was that we did not send our kids off to school to become a preacher. And so I started praying. And I'll tell you, when you start praying, expect return. But sometimes it will hurt you to get the return. Leon and I had bought a big farm, and we couldn't keep it. We kept the payments up, but I can remember anyone that knows the land and loves the land, I can remember with the dirt running through my fingers crying because I didn't want to tell that land goodbye. But I knew that there would be a difference. And I got to hear my son tonight, and I'm so grateful that I was willing to. I won't say that I smile all the time, because I didn't. And I won't say that I didn't fail, because I did. But I will say that God will always bless you. If you, some way, somehow, God will give you the blessing. And I really enjoyed hearing that service. Pray for us up there in Springdale. I haven't been going to church. I tried, and I couldn't do it. I don't know what our future holds up there, but I do know that there's some people that need us in the family. So we don't know what's going to take place, but I do know that God is good. And I wouldn't take anything from my journey. I really wouldn't. I look back to some of the things. I look back, I'll make the story real short, as Dester says. He said, June, you don't know when to shut up sometimes, but anyway. He and I went into McDonald's, I think it was. Maybe it was Kentucky Fried Chicken, somewhere. And a man spoke to us, and he started to cry. And I looked at him, and this man was in his 30s. And he said, don't you remember me? And then I remembered him. His hair, some changes had been made. He said, you were so good to us when we were young. And see, I was just doing my job, taking care of kids. You never know when you plant a seed how that plant will grow. But I appreciate the Lord, and I'm just glad to be here. You're a blessing.
appreciated these good words tonight. And we got to keep working, don't we? Keep working the road. This has been, you know, it's spiritually received. It's spiritually discerned. You have to get this from the Spirit. And you can't retain it. That's how people really, that's how you go blind. You lose contact or connection with the Spirit of God, you'll go blind because you can't keep spiritual discernment. It's funny how it works. I mean, I know, like Brother Painter was saying, it's hard to see how people, but no one's exempt. I've seen great men go blind. And, you know, you'd think, back when I was more of a baby Christian, I thought, well, if they can't do it, how can I do it? But it's not dependent on them. I'm not dependent on them. I'm dependent on the Lord. My trust is in Him. And there's others that did it, and that's how I know I can do it. I'm not looking at someone that couldn't do it. I'm looking at Jesus. He did it. And He said, I can. We sang that song. If Jesus says I can, I can. I know I can. Well, He said I could. He made a way. And if we just keep on keeping on, He'll do His part. When we quit doing our part is when we lose out. We have to keep presenting ourselves to Him. And it just, you know, where would we go, saints? Where would you go? Would you want to go back to the world? Would you want to be in religious confusion? I mean, we may not have a perfect church or sevenfold light yet, but I'd sure hate to have any less than what we've got as far as understanding is concerned. And what's been revealed to us, and it's not because we're any better than anybody else. It's because of what God's doing, and we were available to Him. He was able to reach us with His grace, and we've got to take advantage of it because it's our opportunity. It's our day. It's our time. So, I'm thankful tonight I'm not discouraged. I'm not discouraged in the Lord. I'm not discouraged with my Savior. He's greater to me than He's ever been. You know, even when I'm going through trials, even now, you know, if I go through a trial, I still know that God's greater in this trial than before, because I've got new experiences in Him. I've got new discernment. I've got new touches from God. There's more grace. So He gives more grace to the humble, doesn't He? That's that virtue that Brother Painter would add to your faith. You know, isn't it, Paul? And I'm not going to preach, but he said, let patience have her perfect work. And then he said that because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It's you can't even have faith without love, God's love. It takes God touching you, His loving touch of the wonderful Holy Ghost, His presence, His Spirit, that touches us, that it causes the love of God woos us and continues to, you know, we're not made like Him right then, but then that virtue, our faith, it took me quite a while to realize virtue, that word virtue means strength or power. It took me quite a while to realize that was, it's really, that comes from humility. because you have to humble yourself to obey God to get any strength. That's why he said add to your faith. You believe, but until you start humbling yourself to obey him, you can't go any further. You can't, you know, faith without works is dead. It takes works or strength or power, and you can't get that without you got to humble down and say, I'll do your will, Lord. I'll obey you. I'll add this strength. Your power is when I'm little, then am I strong. You know, that's, and, you know, it took me quite a while to see that, you know, that little woman, you remember she pressed through the crowd and Jesus said, virtue, I felt virtue go out of me. He felt power leave out of him. Well, he was just humble enough to submit himself wholly, 100% to God. That's how the strength of his humility was able to flow out of him. Hallelujah. So, just, I appreciate Brother Painter encouraging us tonight and with these, he called them stepping stones, building blocks. I remember when the Lord gave me a message on that chapter, I called it the 8 steps of perfection. Brother Leninger took that message around the world too. He gave me credit for it though. Brother Leninger was a great man, but when he preached that message, he said, Brother Smith gave me this message. He said that right here in the minister's meeting. Well, I couldn't hardly believe he said that. Most preachers, you know, they'll hear your message and then they'll take it and preach it like they got it somewhere. But I've done that, so I'm not belittling any preacher for doing it, because it ain't mine anyway. The Lord, that's not my message. It's whosoever message God wants to have it. The one that I preached, I'm talking about. Anyway, it's the Lord's message. He's the one who gave it. What have you got, Paul said, that you didn't receive? So we're just laborers together in this. And we're, all of us, we receive it, then it should go out of us to somebody else before this is over. And let me give you a little thought that I had today that might help you. I've got a girl, a lady. She's really a lady, but, you know, I guess I'm getting old enough to think everybody that's very much younger than me is a girl or a boy. Anyway, she's young enough to be my daughter, so. But she don't know nothing about God, hardly. And she works for us, and you know, I just she every once in a while she tells me, you know, she said, I guess I'm Catholic. She said I'm not a good Catholic, but because she didn't go to Mass or any of that, but that's the only exposure she's got is to being you know, her family, most of them that she knows anything to do with church or Catholic. And she, you know, and I've talked to her a little bit. We have around the office about the Lord, about church. And she heard me say something about Bible study one time. She said, now I would like to maybe sit in on one of them. But she said, I don't think I'm ready for church. I don't think I'm ready for that yet. And I told her, I said, no, I don't think you're ready either. And I got tickled at her. She got to talking about drinking wine. I said, are you a wino? And she said, I don't think I am. I said, well, how much wine do you drink? She said, well, there's Tuesdays is wine day, wherever she buys it. I said, well, how much of it do you buy? She said, well, it's a big jug. I can't remember, Brother Scott, how much it is. But I pinned her down one day and found out she's drinking about 4 or 5 glasses of wine a night. I said, you're getting drunk every night, aren't you? And she don't like, this is some kind of sweet wine. You know, it's not regular dry, bitter wine. I don't know how many of y'all have tasted that. I never could get on to it. I had a customer recently who bought a dog from me, brought me 2 bottles of wine. He drove all the way from California and brought me 2 bottles of California wine, 1 bottle of white and 1 bottle of red. If a wino could have looked in my trash can the next day, he could have got rich. Because that's where it went. But, you know, I just let him give it to me. But anyway, every once in a while, but I've been talking to her about her wine drinking. I've got her down to 2 glasses a night instead of 4 or 5. I've got her cut back. I told her, I said, you got to do better than what you're doing. And she thinks she's doing good. But today I was thinking, you know, we've just kind of accepted her as who she is. You know, I mean, she's a good lady. She's not evil and really in any way. But I was just thinking about her today, and I thought, I don't know anybody else that I have any more opportunity to try to win to the Lord than this woman and her husband and her family. And I thought to myself, I'm going to get busy and try to win this girl. She's winnable. And I thought, you know, I mean, now if I'd have tried this right away when she first went to work for me, it probably scared her. But now she's become accustomed to me and you know, Brother Scotty and Sister Amy. And so she's, you know, she's just one of us at work. But we talk to her some about the Lord. In fact, she talks to me, you know, sometimes we get into some kind of a Bible discussion. And she told me one day, she said, I'm not going to go to heaven, Emma, if I don't change. I said, no, you ain't going. She said, that's what I thought. I said, well, you're right. I said, but I can help you with that. We can turn that around. But anyway, I just thought I'd mention to you the thought that I had. And I thought, how many of y'all know somebody that you've got access to that you could not accept them for who they are and go to work on them and see if you could win them to the Lord? You know, he that's wise winneth souls, the Bible says. So you ought to ask God, give me wisdom and help me to work on this person. If there's somebody in your life that you would like to give it a, you know, try and work on it. And you know, because I thought, here, I've got an opportunity to try to get this girl saved. And if she works here and leaves here or dies and I don't do anything about this, I don't know how the Lord will feel about it. Because, I mean, we're living a life before her, but it takes more than that sometimes. It takes, you know, I mean, I'd like for her to fall on her face and say, I want what y'all have. But I'm going to give her more of what I've got. You know, I can help her with more than just being around her, letting her feel our presence. I can make it a point to try to help her. In fact, she's sort of a captive audience for me. After all, she's my employee. She might feel she has to listen to me. But I don't feel like I would put that kind of pressure on her. I would like for it to be voluntary, but she's open enough that you can talk to her. And then I've seen her kids and her husband, and I think they're a winnable family. So anyway, their name is Whitaker. They're the Whitakers. So help me pray that God will help us. Brother Scott and Amy talked to her about the Lord in church too. She may not be ready for church yet, but if I can get her in a Bible study, I may have to put together a fake Bible study. you know, we may have to get 4 or 5 of us together and have a Bible study for her. Anyway, this Saturday, Fort Smith is having an area fellowship meeting. I've been planning for the last a couple of weeks on going. I've had something come up, and I'm not sure I'm going to be able to make it, but I'm going to try my best, even if I have to go early and maybe leave early. But anyway, pray for that meeting, and if you want to go, well, it starts at 11 o'clock, Fort Smith Church. So we won't have a work day this Saturday. We already mentioned that Sunday, so people will be free to go to that fellowship meeting if they want to. I know right now, you know, it's hot, and I know a lot of the men, Brother Mark Boyd got a hold of me right before church. He just got in from work, just wrung out. He's been working in the heat all day. He said, I'm absolutely exhausted. I know this heat, you know, it's right now is the time you men that are working outside need to be careful, because you can have heat strokes. You can get overheated, and so you have to take care of yourself. But anyway, he just said, I didn't get home in time to get ready. It'd be late before I could get there. Anyway, he asked us to please excuse him. And so, you know, that's understandable for especially those of you that are so faithful. Once in a while, you just get an ox in the ditch. And I understand that. And there's several oxes in the ditch tonight. And then there's others that are out of town. Brother Phil and Sister Chelsea and Sister Holly and Brother Paul David. And I don't know. I just better quit naming names. But anyway, I'm thankful for those of you that are here. So we will have a work day, not this Saturday, but the following Saturday, to get more ready for the, is that July 4th, that Saturday? Well, what do we have after that? We've got the 11th, we got two weekends after that, huh? So we may have to wait till Sunday and get a show of hands of who might not be going to do anything on July 4th. Don't mean much to me. But if it means something to everybody else, and they've all got family coming in, well, we wouldn't, you know, if we don't have enough that can come down. Plus, we need to take some inventory to see what needs to be done. What else? You know, I don't think there's all that much that we have to do. But anyway, so this coming Sunday is potluck, isn't it? Dinner day. Maybe we should have I think if we could have a short department head meeting right after dinner, just to try to get her ducks in a row for the youth meeting, it would probably be good. So we'll mention that again Sunday morning in Bible study and Sunday morning service. Is there any other announcements we need to mention tonight before we go home? Will Jim be open for the youth Sunday after potluck, Brother Painter said? Or yes, Sister Jamie. We have plenty of desserts for potluck Sunday. Okay, good. All right, let's all stand and give the Lord a praise. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We give you praise. Thank you for your good word, the word of God, Lord, and encouragement. I ask you to root it down in our lives and help us to let it anchor and let it help us and encourage us and direct our steps, oh God. Go with each one tonight. Help us, oh God. Oh God, once again, we ask you to touch Sister Inez. Give her a good night, Lord. Touch her and help her with her pain, we pray. Amen. They're They've got Sister Inez on two patches for pain, plus hydrocodone every 6 hours. And it don't even phase it, she said, hardly at all. So they're trying to get it regulated so that they can help her some. But anyway, let's keep praying. I don't want her to have to suffer any more than the Lord, you know, will allow, but we'll just keep petitioning him to help her. Shake hands and be friendly. God bless your hearts. Good night.